There's also another aspect of Catholic prayer that many non-Catholics coming in find odd is the repetition of prayer, right? And again, oftentimes we think of that exhortation in Scripture not to babble on like the pagans, not to engage in vain repetition. And certainly we don't want to engage in vain repetition. In other words, repetition merely to sound good to others, right? Saying many prayers. And again, the Catechism mentioned just a little bit ago that the efficaciousness of the prayer is not due to the number of prayers. It's what's going on in your heart. Nevertheless, there's a place for, again, non-vain, repetitious prayer. Welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Grody, here at the Coming Home Network International. And once again, we're back with another conversation about this, our journey daily of walking with Jesus Christ in prayer, virtue, and vocation. It's great to be with you again, talking about this journey that we're on together. Here at the Coming Home Network International, we're all about the journey. We specifically were formed to help people who are on the journey to the Catholic Church, Christians who are exploring the teachings of the church and considering making that jump. And so if that's you, we'd love to help you. You can check that all out, chnetwork.org. So today, I want to talk more about prayer. In the last episode, we started digging into this section of the Catechism entitled The Life of Prayer. This is chapter 3 of part 4 of the Catechism on Christian prayer. And we went through paragraphs 2697 and 2699, talking about the journey of prayer. You know, that this life of prayer, it's this relationship with Christ, because prayer is the relationship, as the Catechism reminds us, it's a journey. Right, we don't just pray once. We don't just get it right the first time, but it's a journey, both of what we say to God, but also how we are changed by our praying, and then also the gift of Himself that God makes to us as we go on that journey of prayer. And so, I want to continue that conversation today and go a little further in the Catechism in this section on prayer. So, the next section of the Catechism, beginning with paragraph 2700. The Catechism describes three expressions of prayer, and I touched on those last time because it mentioned them in the section that we read, and those are vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. And the Catechism emphasized that the essential trait of all these three expressions of prayer are this composure of the heart, that all the different kinds, not just the expressions of prayer that we're going to talk about, but even the different types of prayer, the different petitions. We think of the Our Father, the different types of petitions that our Lord teaches us to pray in that prayer. Throughout all the kinds and types and expressions of prayer, the essential trait is this composure of the heart before God, that we compose our heart, we bring ourselves together to be in the presence of God. But then we pray in different ways. And these three expressions we're going to talk about, vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer, they describe three modes of prayer that we should be practicing always in our Christian life, right? We should always have parts of our life dedicated to practicing these different kinds of prayer. But they also describe a journey of prayer that we, to some degree, we all begin with vocal prayer because it's the most bodily, it's the most accessible, it's the most active form of prayer. It's where we're doing the heavy lifting, so to speak. We're engaging our mind. We're speaking words to God. We're saying things. We're learning from the church how to pray. We're putting it in action. And then that sets us off this down this road of learning to meditate, which is active, but it's also more receptive. We'll talk more about that. But then ultimately, the deepest form of prayer that we get better and better at predisposing ourselves to is contemplative prayer. And ultimately, contemplative prayer is about, I'm not speaking anymore. God is now speaking, or just being there, giving me the experience of His presence, and so we can predispose ourselves to that, you know, by our lives, by our actions, by our journey of prayer. But ultimately, then it's just making ourselves open and receptive to the gift of His presence that God wants to give. And this prayer of union and intimacy—that's really the highest form of prayer. So we're going to get there, but we're going to proceed along that journey today by talking about vocal prayer as this great starting point. So, we're going to work again through the Catechism, beginning on paragraph 2700. Let me read that first paragraph and then share a few thoughts with you on it. So this is paragraph 2700, and it reads, "Through His Word, God speaks to man. By words, mental or vocal, our prayer takes flesh. Yet it is most important that the heart should be present to him to whom we are speaking in prayer. Whether or not our prayer is heard depends not on the number of words, but on the fervor of our souls. A lot of good stuff in that paragraph. A few things I want to just point out here right off the bat. First of all, is this incarnational theme in this paragraph, right? That through his word, God speaks to man, right? God's word takes flesh. The word becomes flesh, right? God speaks to us in a human way according to the human nature that he gave us, right? He gave us human nature, body and soul. You know, we have ears to hear, right? We have eyes to see. And so God speaks to us throughout salvation history by taking on flesh. He speaks to us through physical things, through signs, through prophets, through words. Most eminently, obviously, in the incarnation itself, when God takes on flesh and comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, God speaks to man in these ways. And then, of course, in the scriptures, too, this great gift that we have of the scriptures, of the tradition of the church, again, it comes to us always through the body. It comes to us through words, through books, through preaching. And God has designed us this way, not by accident. This is his plan. He made us humans. He made us body and soul. And then he speaks to us in our human nature through the means that he's given us. Okay. So then the next part of that paragraph, right, then by words, mental or vocal, our prayer takes flesh. So we respond to God in kind, right? He designs us as humans. He gives us body and soul. He makes us makes this human nature of ours. Then he comes to meet us, right? He comes to meet us in the flesh and through words and through ways that we can understand as humans. And then we respond out of our human nature by giving voice to our prayer, right? Our prayer takes on flesh. Now that happens sometimes verbally with our mouths, speaking out loud, but it also happens, you know, in our minds when we can speak to God in silence. We can verbalize mentally the words we're speaking to him. But our prayers take flesh in response to God. So God speaks, we respond in the uniquely human way that God's given us to do that. This paragraph makes another great point in that it emphasizes that the efficacy of prayer is obviously not dependent on the number of words we say. We're not to babble on like the pagans, right? We don't put our faith in our action, our effort, or the multiplication of our words for the efficacy of prayer. It's necessary for our prayer to become flesh, to take on flesh in our speech, in speaking to God. But it's not the external aspect of it that makes it efficacious. It's that it issues from our heart, that we are speaking. We are making this act of love. We are making this act of worship or whatever the kind of prayer it is. We are speaking to God, right? So it's not the words out here. It's words as something that we are saying. It's something, it's this communication. It's this relationship. Prayer is this relationship with God. And so as it says there, again, quoting, this is St. John Chrysostom, whether or not our prayer is heard depends not on the number of words, but on the fervor of our souls. So it's this relationship thing. So going on to paragraph 2701, it reads, vocal prayer is an essential element of the Christian life. To his disciples, drawn by their master's silent prayer, Jesus teaches a vocal prayer, the Our Father. He not only prayed aloud the liturgical prayers of the synagogue, but as the Gospels show, he raised his voice to express his personal prayer, from exultant blessing of the Father to the agony of Gethsemane. So in the life of Christ, he teaches us how to pray by example. I love this bit here. The Catechism says, his disciples, drawn by their master's silent prayer, right? The disciples certainly learned from Christ how to pray vocally. He gave them a starting point when they asked him how to pray. He gave them a prayer to pray. And certainly they observed him praying in the synagogue. They observed him carrying out the liturgical prayers of the day. They observed him praying aloud to the Father, you know, at times of exultance, at times of agony. But the Catechism notes that they were drawn to their master's silent prayer, that in the person of Christ, the disciples observed an intimacy with the Father, an intimacy between the Son and the Father, that they were drawn to this silent prayer. And I like that that's included here, because while Christ gives them vocal prayer as a starting point, the Catechism also notes here where this journey is heading. You know, that beginning with vocal prayer, ultimately our goal, our destiny in Christ is to enter that intimacy with the Father. That's our calling. that the Father is calling us into this intimate union, this intimate communion with the Trinity. And so we don't get there all at once, right? We begin by praying in the way that makes the most sense to us. That's the most human, right? That, you know, we speak body and soul. We speak words, whether internally or externally, we speak words to God. We pray, but then we go deeper into that. And ultimately what we're going is we're imitating Christ's union with the Father, Christ's intimacy with his Heavenly Father. Going on in the catechism here, this is paragraph 2702, the need to involve the senses in interior prayer corresponds to a requirement of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and we experience the need to translate our feelings externally. We must pray with our whole being to give all power possible to our supplication. This need also corresponds to a divine requirement. God seeks worshipers in spirit and in truth, and consequently, living prayer that arises from the depths of the soul. He also wants the external expression that associates the body with interior prayer, for it renders him that perfect homage which is his due. So these two paragraphs, again, it's really talking about, again, how God has made us body and soul, and how we have to respond in accord with the human nature that God has given us, right? We involve the senses in our prayer. We involve the body in our prayer. Think about this for a moment. Never one moment in your entire life have you done anything without your body. Like we very easily as human beings fall into this dualistic mindset where we think of ourselves as, oh, my body's here, but my mind is kind of out there, and my spirit, they're these different disconnected entities. But you are body and soul together. That's what it means to be a human being. And you've never prayed, you've never worked, you've never played, you've never been at rest. Nothing you've ever done has been merely in your mind. Your body is always engaged. You're always acting as a human being. You're always being human, right? And so it's just natural thus that prayer is involves our whole being. Now, again, what's interesting about our human nature, but also then our human status at present, is that as a result of sin, we are disintegrated beings, right? We're body and soul and mind, and our body, of course, is very complex. But we are, in many ways, we're broken and disintegrated as a result of sin, right? And prayer is a journey of reintegration, right? When we pray, we do our best to bring our whole being together, as it said earlier in the catechism, to compose our hearts, you know, the deepest core of who we are, compose ourselves before God. But that's hard to do, right? It's hard to focus. It's hard to think straight, you know, different days. It's more or less easy to think straight and to focus. It's difficult to sit still. It's difficult in the busyness of our lives to enter into silence. And so this is part of the journey of prayer, that it's a journey of we find ourselves disintegrated, and we experience that disintegration most acutely when we try to do something like prayer. Or I think another connected example, when we try to be in relationship with another person, when we try to listen to our spouse or be present to our friends or play with our children, we discover how disintegrated we are, you know, not just in terms of our body and our spirit and our mind, but even in our heart, right? The deepest part of us, our deepest loves and attachments, we find ourselves that we're very divided, right? My heart loves God, but my heart also loves a lot of things that aren't God and in disordered ways. And so we find ourselves disintegrated. And the journey of life, the journey of virtue, but also this journey of prayer is a journey of reintegration, that we bring ourselves together before God, and we get better and better at bringing all those pieces back together and praying as a whole human being. This is one of the reasons that Catholics pray using their bodies. And sometimes this is a surprise, or this is very weird to people coming from other Christian traditions. They come in and they see Catholics standing up and sitting down and crossing themselves and genuflecting and folding their hands and all the things that Catholics do. One of the reasons that Catholics do that is that, you know, that we're trying to pray with our whole body here. And speak, beginning with the body is sometimes the easiest place to begin in pulling ourselves together for prayer. You know, so we have the words, right? It's easier. You know, our children begin by learning prayers and learning the beautiful prayers of the church and speaking those to God. Like that's a great starting point, right? It's very concrete. We can get our minds around that. We can speak beautiful words, loving words to God from Scripture, from the great saints. But also bringing our bodies together into prayer is one of the starting points. You know, what do you do with your body while you're praying? we speak words with our mouths or mentally to God, but we also speak with our whole body, right? There's body language. This is true whether we're speaking to God or to another person, that what you're doing with your body speaks about your heart, who you are, what you believe, who you are in your heart. It's manifest in your body, not just in your words, but in how you compose yourself, how you posture yourself, right? So when we pray, you know, do we pray standing up or kneeling or sitting attentively before God, or do we just pray kind of collapsed in the armchair, right? Bringing our body into prayer is part of how we speak to God. It's also how we speak to other people and to ourselves, right? When Catholics go to Mass and they genuflect before the tabernacle because they believe that Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, that action of genuflection, going down on one knee and making the sign of the cross, it's speaking to God what you believe. It's also speaking to the people around you. And perhaps most importantly, or at least most importantly in terms of the journey, it's speaking to yourself. Because again, you're a divided, disintegrated being. And when you bring your body into the prayer, it reminds you what you're doing. It pulls you together so that it's not just some parts of you that are praying, but the whole of you is praying as much as can be. I was speaking with my bishop once. We had him over to dinner, and he was telling us a story about a seminarian who was having trouble in his prayer life, right? He was having trouble focusing. And the bishop observed him in chapel one day and saw the young man sitting there fidgeting, and he would be constantly fidgeting. Every moment or two, he'd be doing something, scratching or moving the pages around or whatever. He couldn't sit still. And the bishop noticed this and gave him the advice later in spiritual direction that, you know, if you're having trouble in prayer, start by just trying to sit still, right? And the young man found that this was a great help to his prayer life, that this was sort of the next step that unlocked a deeper prayer for him, because he was praying, certainly he was trying to pray with his mind, you know, in his heart, he was trying to compose his heart, but he left out an important piece. He left out the bodily aspect. And once he got hold of his body, once he was able to still it, to quiet it down, well, then on a deeper level, his mind, his spirit, he was able to focus better there as well. So again, this journey of prayer, it starts outward. it's an outside in process. We start with what we can mostly get our hands around, our body, our words, and then the journey progresses inward. And so this is another reason why beginning with vocal prayer, right, it is a great starting point. We start with the words that we speak to God, and then we go deeper. Let me read the final paragraph from this section. This is paragraph 2704. Because it is external and so thoroughly human, vocal prayer is the form of prayer most readily accessible to groups. Even interior prayer, however, cannot neglect vocal prayer. Prayer is internalized to the extent that we become aware of Him to whom we speak. Thus, vocal prayer becomes an initial form of contemplative prayer. So this paragraph, once again, it charts this course, right? That we begin with the prayer that is most readily accessible to us as human beings and to human beings praying together. Also, it makes that note about praying in groups. That's where we start. It's a great starting point. But it's the first step on a journey to a much deeper form of prayer. This active form of prayer, this more very thoroughly human form of prayer, it's how we prepare ourselves, how we cooperate with grace to make ourselves open to the deeper gifts of prayer that God wants to give us. Let's talk a little bit more about, again, kinds of vocal prayer that you'll encounter in the Catholic Church. I think, you know, one thing to think about, sometimes people coming into the Catholic Church from different Christian traditions are used to spontaneous prayer. They're a little bit leery of or not sure what to make of the rote prayers of the Catholic Church. Catholics, you know, learn to pray the Our Father. I think most Christians know the Our Father, obviously. But things like the Hail Mary or other kinds of prayers, the prayer to the Holy Spirit is a great one, or the act of contrition that we pray as part of the sacrament of confession, or other just aspects of the liturgy. You know, Catholics come to know those by practice and are able to pray them from memory. And again, there's great value to that. That can't be the end point, right, to merely memorize a prayer and be able to recite it. Obviously, again, as the Catechism has mentioned many times up to this point, ultimately, this has to be something that comes from your heart, right? But when one of the ways that we learn to pray is by learning to pray from the scriptures. and from the great saints, from the great heroes and heroines of the church who went deep into prayer and gave us words to pray, right? Praying with the Psalms is a beautiful way to pray. Memorizing scripture and then praying that scripture, speaking those words back to God that he's given to us, is a great starting point in the life of prayer. Again, it can't be the end point, merely repeating it to God's, if it's not coming from our heart, but learning prayer, memorizing great prayers of the church, and then being able to pray them, to pray in them, to go deeper in them, is an important aspect of prayer in the Catholic Church. There's also another aspect of Catholic prayer that many non-Catholics coming in find odd, is the repetition of prayer, right? And again, oftentimes we think of that exhortation in Scripture not to babble on like the pagans, not to engage in vain repetition, and certainly we don't want to engage in vain repetition. In other words, repetition merely to sound good to others, right? Saying many prayers. And again, the Catechism mentioned just a little bit ago that the efficaciousness of the prayer is not due to the number of prayers. It's what's going on in your heart. Nevertheless, there's a place for, again, non-vain, repetitious prayer. And we'll get into this a little bit more in the next section on meditation, but prayers like the Our Father, you know, like you can never pray that prayer many times, too many times, right? Throughout your life, you may pray that prayer 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. And every time you have to work to compose your heart, not just to say the words, but to compose your heart. But that prayer is so rich and deep. The seven petitions of the Our Father, this prayer that the Lord has given to us, it's so deep. And you can spend your whole life going deeper into it. And as you pray it over and over, again, you learn it the first time. It's pretty interesting, exciting. Maybe you're a kid and you're excited to be able to recite it and pray it to God. And after a while, it maybe gets a little dry and boring. But through the course of your life, you keep praying, you keep trying to compose your heart, and you'll go deeper and deeper into a prayer as simple as the Our Father. So the repetition of prayer in Catholicism, in certain meditations, in a prayer like the Rosary, you know, where you're praying the scriptural prayer of the Hail Mary over and over again, there's a purpose to that. And one is just to go deeper over time, but also to kind of pave the way for meditation and deeper kinds of prayer. Part of prayer is what you're saying, right? If it's a vocal prayer, what you're saying, but it's also this, that you're practicing this composure of heart. You're practicing the virtues necessary to be a better prayer, right? If you can't concentrate for more than a few moments, if you can't focus, if you can't sit still, right, then it's hard to be in prayer and hard to go deeper in prayer. So part of what we're doing, even when we pray the same prayers over and over, is that we're practicing, we're saying the words to God, but we're also just mostly practicing placing our heart and mind in the right state and trying to keep them there. And when they wander off, we just gently bring them back, and the prayer is an aid to that. We get better at being in the presence of God, and that's part of this journey. Again, it's a journey of reintegration, so it's not just what we say, it's not just what we think, it's also our heart, it's also our body, right? And so it's a journey of bringing these things together. It takes a lot of practice. It's a lifelong practice, this relationship with God, getting better at it. Another way to think of prayer too, especially in terms of vocal prayer, are the different types of prayer. And there's a different section of the Catechism a little earlier in this fourth section about the different types of prayer. And again, thinking of the Our Father, right? We have prayers of adoration and worship, right? Where we're praising God, we're worshiping him, we're blessing him, we're recognizing his greatness. There are prayers of repentance and penitence, when we're bringing our sins before God and we're repenting of them. We're saying sorry for the things that we've done wrong. There are prayers of supplication and intercession. When we're praying for our needs, we're laying our needs before God, we're expressing the desires of our heart, you know, or our difficulties. Or intercession, when we're praying for another person, right? That's another kind of prayer. We express that to God. We intercede for another person's needs or concerns. And there's, of course, prayers of thanksgiving, right? When we look at the good things that happen in our lives, and then we express, again, with words, verbal or mental, we express words of thanksgiving to our Lord. And I think another point to then think of also is then, there are prayers that this goes along with this point, that we have rote prayers. The church gives us, it safeguards for us great prayers from Scripture that we can learn, that we can pray along with, and say amen to, right? As Christians, when someone prays, or when we hear the prayers of the liturgy, you know, or so, or we pray on our Father that we didn't compose, we pray it, and then we say amen. We kind of put our stamp of approval on it. We say, you know, I agree with this, so be it, right? But we do also need to learn to pray from our hearts. That's part of this journey too, that it can't always and forever be someone else's words. We do need to express our own hearts to God. And that's a journey as well, because I think, you know, you find on the journey of prayer that sometimes you begin by telling God what you think he wants to hear, right? You can almost get a little too comfortable in pious words, but never really express your heart to God. And if you're not expressing your heart to God, you're still holding something back. You're still holding a part of you back that you're not letting him get in there and heal and address. So I think part of the journey, again, and this is still in this general category of vocal prayer, part of the journey is also learning to just speak to God from our heart, to speak to him as a person, as a father, to express our needs, to express our concerns, to express our worship and our love. The prayers of the church are a great starting point for that and a great ending point, right? I think we start with the prayers of the church. We also then learn to pray from our hearts. And then we return to the great prayers of the church, especially preeminently the prayers of the liturgy. And we're able to go deeper in them because we've now revealed our hearts to God. So we're able to come back to God with a greater intimacy through this journey. And so, again, there's just a lot to that journey of prayer. And vocal prayer is a great starting point. It's a necessary starting point for that journey. And it's never something that we leave behind, even as we go on to deeper forms of prayer. This vocal prayer, our speaking to God, is a necessary starting point. Once again, as this last paragraph says, vocal prayer becomes an initial form of contemplative prayer. It's a starting point for this deeper movement. As it stated earlier, the goal of prayer, the essential component of prayer and the fruit of prayer is always this composure of heart. And when we do that in our mental prayer, we're paving the way for a deeper intimacy with God. Vocal prayer is one of the more active forms of prayer in a certain sense, right? It's what we are speaking to God, but it paves the way for the deeper forms of prayer where we are now then opening ourselves up more and allowing God to speak to us, you know, whether it's a good word, an actual, you know, message, a prompting, or it's just the gift of his presence. We start with the more active form of prayer, and then we compose our hearts and we get better and better at being open to God's presence and his gift in prayer. And ultimately, again, we'll talk about it more in a couple episodes, but contemplative prayer, this prayer of God's presence, where it's no longer us speaking so much as it is us simply being in the presence of God, receiving the gift of God's presence, it is a more receptive form of prayer, but it's not passive, right? It's an active, vigilant, present form of prayer. And so there's this movement from the active to the receptive. We remain active in prayer, but we get better and better at letting God do the work, letting him speak, letting his presence be what animates our prayer. But again, it's a journey. I always want to end on a practical note. And so again, thinking of vocal prayer in the context of this whole journey of prayer, what we talked about in our first episode was that again, this quote from the Catechism, that if we want to pray at all times, as we're called to in Scripture, we have to pray at specific times, right? In order to go on that journey of prayer and learn to pray in all ways, in all times and places and all activities and all the forms of prayer, we have to start with something concrete and definite. So you have to have a plan, right? So your plan of life your plan of life should involve vocal prayer, as well as time for meditative prayers we'll talk about, and contemplative prayer. You should think in terms of days and weeks and the year. There should be times set aside for prayer and the different forms of prayer. Just as these three expressions of prayer give us a sense of the journey throughout our life of going deeper in prayer and getting better at it and composing our hearts before God, I think it also gives us sort of a framework for thinking of even a particular prayer time. So like if you get up early in the morning and that's your time for prayer, and maybe you set aside a half an hour or 20 minutes or something like that, even the structure of that time, I think the three expressions of prayer sort of give us an idea of how to enter into that. In other words, we begin by speaking to God. We begin by praising God. We begin with thanksgiving. We begin by opening our hearts to God, right? And that gives us a way to start. And we might, you know, in your particular prayer time, that might be, again, with a rote prayer of the church. It might be with the rosary, or the Liturgy of the Hours is a great prayer to pray daily or throughout the day, daily. And so that's a great starting point. And then in the midst of that prayer, at different punctuation points within the prayer, or just when you're so moved to do so, pause to meditate, pause to go a little deeper, mentally searching the words, especially the words of Scripture, to listen to what the Lord's talking to you about. But ultimately, and especially when you're moved by the Lord's presence, right? When you're able, you know, to compose yourselves and simply notice the presence of God, you know, I think an important part of the prayer time is simply to take time to be in the presence of God, to listen, to be in awe of God, to love God, but not necessarily to have to babble on, just to be in His presence and love Him. That's an important part of the prayer life. That's ultimately the deeper form, and ultimately it's God's gift, but we want to be practicing, kind of paving the way from that, for that, and disposing our hearts to be open to it, to this gift that God wants to give us. So hopefully some of that was helpful. Again, this section on prayer in the catechism, really the whole catechism, is such a gift, but this section in particular is just wonderful. And so I'd encourage you to read through it and study with it. I'm going to keep going through this section, talking about the expressions of prayer. And then there's a section afterwards on the battle of prayer that I'll talk about in a few episodes. But for now, that's vocal prayer. Next episode, we'll talk about meditation as another important expression of prayer on this journey that we go on in relationship with Christ. Once again, this is the Coming Home Network International. And if you are exploring the Catholic Church, if you have questions or you're seeking community and fellowship for that journey, check out chnetwork.org. We have many resources for you, a free newsletter, videos, articles, etc., as well as events and an online community and staff members who'd love to talk to you and hear your story and pray with you and for you as you continue the journey with Christ. So we'll be back next week with another episode of Deep in Christ. Until then, God bless.